Okay, I just mentioned earlier that 2 weeks ago we had a special on the relationship between Cuba and the United States of America in terms of normalizing their diplomatic relationship.
Yes, sir.
As a long-time Pan-Africanist and socialist, how do you read those new developments in the relationship between the two countries?
I read it in the sense that I think it's a victory for Cuba because Cuba has been calling for, you know, relationships with the U.S. China has relationships with the U.S. And when Grenada was under Maurice, under the New Jewel Movement, they wanted relationships with the U.S. And there's no problem with having relationships with a country, you know. I mean, so I think that was a victory for Cuba, and the U.S. is trying to dictate what they do, you know, and that problem is, you know, can Cuba continue to do what they're doing, or will the U.S. dictate to them what the U.S. wants the Cuba to do?
Right, right. And Cuba have played historically a very important role in terms of international solidarity, and recently with the new development, the Cuban five have been released from jail and they returned to Cuba. 3 out of those 5 members of the Cuban five have fought in Africa, in Angola, against apartheid system. Can you come back a little bit on the historical role that Cuba have been playing consistently in regard to international solidarity with Africa and the rest of the world?
Well, first of all, I think that Fidel Castro has stated that the only place he feels safe in the United States is in Harlem, and Cuba has always supported Africa from the beginning, when they became independent in 1959. They supported Guinea, they supported Ghana, when South Africa was invaded, when Angola was invaded by South Africa, the Cubans were there, and the Cubans have the Cuban Five. There was a group of people in Toronto that were arguing that Cuba only sent black people to Angola because they wanted to kill them for genocide. And this was a line that was perpetuated by Carlos Moore at one time. And I remember seeing a film about Cuba, and there were Cubans of all, black, white. Che Guevara's daughter went to Cuba. So this was basically a lie that the that the U.S. Government, CIA, and their stooges were promoting, and the, like you said, 3 of the Cuban Five actually fought in Cuba. You know, Fidel Che Guevara had gone to the Congo. Cuba has a long history of supporting African liberation struggles on the continent and in the diaspora.
Right. Now, in terms of this recent opening up of promise of regularizing the relationship between the U.S. And Cuba, some people who have been supporters of Cuba have been a little bit nervous in terms of what it could mean. And do you see, what are the risks for you in terms of having the situation go the way the U.S. wants, in opposition to consolidating the Cuban Revolution at this point in time? Is there any risk, and what are the challenges that Cuba will have in terms of when they normalize the relationship with the U.S.?
I think there are risks, because I think that there is a sector of the ruling class in America sees Cuba as a market of an 11 million people, and as a market, and they also see the ideas of Cuba spreading, don't want to really the ideas of Cuba to spread, because, you know, Fidel Castro is one of the most popular human beings on the planet Earth. Now his brother Raul is less known than he is, but I think that the one sector of the U.S. ruling class wants that market, and they want to basically tame the revolutionary fervor of the Cuban people, and I think that that can be a serious problem. You know, even some of the the right wing elements want to go into Cuba because they see it as a there's cash to be made, and for example, the Cubans want there's a section of the ruling class that want them to give up Ossata Shakur, and Cuba has said that they will not give up Ossata Shakur. Now, what's going to happen when after Raul passes away, is this a permanent situation with Ossata Shakur? Now, I know from reliable sources that Ossata Shakur wanted to go to Grenada when she, got out of prison, but she was advised Grenada is not the spot to go because Grenada cannot protect her. Go to Cuba. So, if there is a change in the relationship of Cuba, will, the new leadership be socialists and continue their same path of development, or will they be right-wing and give up someone like Ossata Shakur? And there's other political prisoners in Cuba, not just from black people from America, but black people from all over the world, Puerto Rico, from Africa, all kind of, political progressive people that have fought on the right side of history, and they're in Cuba as well. So I'm kind of worried about that personally, but that's going to be determined by the people in Cuba themselves.
Right, right. Now, maybe just give us a little bit of a background of you've been mentioning Ossata Shakur, but some people might not be familiar with her. Give us a little bit of historical background of who she is and how she ended up being in Cuba right now, living as an exile.
Well, Ossata Shakur there's a great book on Ossata. I saw it at a different book list in Toronto, if you're in Toronto, and you can get the book. But Ossata Shakur was born in North Carolina, and she moved to New York City, and she went to one of the colleges in New York. I think she went to City College, and she became, I guess she was attracted to, I think she was attracted to the the whole question of the Yoruba religion, and then she got involved with, I think, the a lot of the other nationalist groups, and eventually she joined the Black Panther Party. And when she joined the Black Panther Party, she was arrested, or she was charged, got a lot of charges on her, and for robbing banks and so on and so forth, and went to prison. And she went to prison, and Black Panther Party split into the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army. Ossata was part of the Black Liberation Army, which was supposedly the Eldridge Cleaver's faction of the Black Panther Party, and she was involved in New Jersey. She was involved supposedly in a shootout with the police, and one of the brothers that she was with, Zaid Shakur. Zaid, I believe his name was Zaid. I remember I heard him speak one time when I was in Harlem, and he was killed, and Sundiata Okoli, who's still in prison, was captured, and Ossata was broken out of prison, you know, by liberation forces, and she ended up in Cuba. And when she went to Cuba, she lived in Cuba for many, 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 many years. So she's still in Cuba. She went to Cuba in 1984. But when the Pope went to Cuba, you know, they tried to make a deal. You know, the Pope, the right wing forces tried to make a deal with the Pope to have her turned over. But you know, the Pope did not. I don't really think that. I'm not saying that the Pope was a progressive person, but I think he didn't necessarily want to turn her over. And no one knows where Saadat. I mean, she's still in Cuba, but she's had to basically go in order to protect her. The Cubans, you can't really call Saadat secure. But she's basically underground in Cuba. Yeah, we actually interviewed her one time on CKLN. That we didn't even have a tape recorder at that particular time, but you know, we had contact with her for a second. But basically, she has because of the situation, no one knows where she is right now, you know, but the Cubans have vowed not to give her up, you know.
Right, and unfortunately, it's all the time we have for today. Is there anything that you would like to add in relation to the situation? One word maybe about the state of the black struggles in the U.S. in continuation to the struggle that was led by Assata Shakur and people like him.
Well, I think the U.S. struggle is like the people themselves are fighting, but the thing that about the U.S. struggle that I always like to remind people of is that without the international community, the U.S. people, African people in the U.S. would have been wiped out. If it wasn't for Africa, it wasn't for India, if it wasn't for Cuba, African people in the United States have always had support, international support, and this has kept the ruling class from wiping Africans in America out. If it wasn't for that, you know, and the fact that black people historically have always fought back, you know, black people wouldn't even be existing in the 21st century.
I would like to thank you very much for your insight, and we will continue the discussion.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Norman Otis Richman from Toronto, and a longtime Pan-Africanist and socialist internationalist supporter of Cuba, and who has been giving us his analysis regarding the recent normalization of relationship between Cuba and the U.S.